message gets to the station by a quarter till 12. So so you guys know I'm going to be done by then, huh? Right? Yeah. And for today, this is the way that's going to get there. But anyway, good to have you guys here. You know, it's such a blessing for you guys to be here with me. And I'm going to be selfish for a minute, but I love seeing you all, and I love having you here. And it's just, I look forward to Sunday mornings every week. As you know, that's why I don't like to be gone on Sundays. And I'm going to start taking a little more time, but I think I'm going to do it during the week. And then I won't feel so bad about being gone. But it's been a good week. We've had, it's really interesting. I finally, after years of wanting one, got my shop built and got my cement down in it, and it's really nice, and I've got this great big long workbench in there, and all the stuff that I need that I've finally been able to pull out of here and pull out of there that I've stashed away to make it a working place where I can, and I started fixing things that have been laying around broke forever, and this is all wonderful, but I found out that if I'm on my feet for more than 2 hours, I have nerve pain in my legs so bad that I can't stand it. And isn't this just wonderful? So, I'm going to quit asking you guys to pray for specific things for me. I think you guys just need to pray for the whole picture. Because, I'll tell you what, it gets rough sometimes. Did I leave her? I was smart. I remembered this morning. But no, it's just those things, they pop up. And now I know that I can work for an hour and a half and go sit down for 45 minutes and go back at it again. And I'm good to go. Hey, today we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a passage I know that you're all pretty familiar with. If you've been in this church very long, I know you're familiar with it because I've referred to it many times. And from all the scribble I have in my Bible in this passage, I've been here a lot. And I can still get to the words so I can see through that scribble. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 14, we're talking about approved and disapproved workers. Do you guys remember the Awana program? We had it here for a long time. And I would like some of our old Awana leaders, if there's any of them in here, or those that have been in it, please tell me what Awana stands for, the acronym. Thank you. That is exactly what it means.
Hallelujah.
And what does it take to be an approved worker? Well, let's look at that. I think that many times our failures come because we're not concerned whether we're an approved workman or not, that we're just being a workman. Our message today is entitled, Praise God for Tomorrow. We should praise God for today, but we also praise God for tomorrow all the time because we know who's in control of tomorrow. But one thing that can help us a little bit in that area is if we're prepared for tomorrow. Have you ever gone to take a test? And you pray, oh Lord, please help me with this test. Bring everything that I need to my mind and the things that we pray when we're ready to take a test or something like that. But then we realize, we really ask ourselves, did we really study for that test? Gotta answer that question. If we're ready to praise God for tomorrow, I think that what we need to do sometimes is have some skin in the game. He's got us here for a reason. He's prepared us for certain things. Something I always get a kick out of, and I was thinking about this just the other day, is that I'm reading this book that Frank gave me. It's called the, is it called the Grasshopper Church, Frank, or
Grasshopper Effect.
The Grasshopper Effect. And of course what that refers to is when the spies went into Canaan and they came back and said, we're like grasshoppers compared to these men. And many times in the churches in America, we feel like we are grasshoppers compared to some of the larger churches and larger venues. Do you guys know that 95% of the churches in the United States of America are under 250 people. And the average size of the church in America is, the average attendance size of a church in America is 60 people. We don't think of that very often because we hear many times of larger venues. Well, the thing that I wanted to get to and the point that I wanted to make is this, that many times we see churches that are larger venues and, oh, their music is just outstanding, you know, or this program's outstanding or that program's outstanding. And they say, well, you know, that's okay because they have a lot of people to choose from. That is the lamest argument I've ever heard. You know why? It all goes back to effort. What do we put into what we're called to do? Are you telling me because we don't have a lot of people that we can't do the very best job that we can do with what God's given us? Are you telling me that because we don't have a lot of people and we're not a church of 500 to 2,000 people, that somehow the gift that God gave me is subpar to someone that is in a bigger church? Of course it's not. Do you mean that gives me an excuse to not do as well? Because we really shouldn't be expected to do as well. We just don't have everything they have. I say not. I say we should strive to serve the Lord with our very best, with our time, with our abilities and our talents. 100%. Doesn't matter how big we are. Doesn't that make sense to you? Because it certainly made a lot of sense to me. Verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of hearts. Excuse me, hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How are we going to rightly divide the word of truth? We talk about this every week. Come on, folks. It's in here. We got to know it. We've got to know what's in here if we're going to know what the word of truth is and what truth is and have a good argument, right? If we're going to talk to people about the word of God and what's in it, we better know what's in it. Am I right? Now, last week we talked about all the young people that are available to us to be out there serving in the world and in our communities. They've got to be the legs. They've got to be the voice and the legs for us that are getting older and aren't going to be the voice and legs a lot longer. But we're the ones that teach them. So are we willing to give that time to teach them, to disciple them? We should be. Folks, I pray you can never shut me up from a wheelchair. And I don't plan on it. I don't think any of us should. Yesterday, I was talking to one of our local school teachers at the market day, and we had a rather lengthy discussion. And out of this discussion comes future planning for things that we like to see happen in our communities, in our churches, to bring younger people the things they need. Pastor, you're too old to plan. No, I'm not. I might just be too old to carry out some of it. That's what you guys are for. And myself, you know that. But we need people in so many areas. We say the world's taking over in this area, in this area. Why is the world taking over? Because we're not injecting ourselves into it. Right? Why should the world be taking over there? Why aren't we offering things on a believer's level, on a spiritual level, that the world's offering on a secular level? Why are we letting the secular level of this world completely take over the teaching of our children? Why are we letting them completely take over the drama classes and the drama clubs? Why are we letting them completely take over the voice, the choral, the music groups in our schools and everything else? Why aren't we offering it? Why aren't we doing it? Why don't we give those alternatives to young people if they would like that? You know, we can. We really can. But the question is, do we have the desire? And it comes back to rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, boy, Pastor, that's a stretch. No, it's not a stretch, because if we understand and we know the word of God, we know what the word of God is calling us to do. Right? So are we doing it? Do we feel the need to do it? I had another discussion with someone this morning, and I had it with someone yesterday, and I've had it a few times, that I don't quite understand. There's a lot of people that are completely up in arms about critical race theory being taught in the schools. Now, I don't want to get into that argument this morning, or discussion, about critical race theory. And I certainly understand why people are alarmed at segregating our populations into groups that aren't made equal by God. And I understand that. And I don't really want it taught either. But I see so many Christians all up in arms, and they're going to school boards, and they're all fired up about this thing. But the non-existence of God and evolution has been being taught for the last 50 years. Where have the parents been? In other words, it's okay to offend God and tell God, you know, they're talking about you not creating this world. They're talking about discrediting you. And that's fine with me. That's just the way it is. But boy, they better not say something about Daddy being a racist. Huh? Folks, where's our allegiance? Do we care what people say about God? Do we care about the dishonest things being said about our Creator and our loving God? Where have we been? Where have we been? Now, I'm not putting anyone down that wants to address that issue in any way they want to. My question is, I don't understand why suddenly that's so important. But the stealing the minds of our young people away from the truth of Genesis and the Word of God has been no big deal. And when you say, well, we'll just tell them differently. Let me tell you something, folks. There's a huge difference between you telling them and indoctrination. And we better realize it. Be diligent to present yourself and approve to God, worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Doesn't that work that way sometimes? The more untruth, the more unprofitable talk that comes within the church, the more it will increase and the worse it'll get. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. So he's talking about two individuals that have brought that message into the church and brought a wrong message. Be careful. It spreads like fire. Be careful in your churches today, folks, what messages are coming in the door. Because I want to tell you something, the churches today are a tinderbox for the wrong message to catch fire. Do you want to know why? Because too many of us have forgot to stand on the solid rock and let too many things in that take us in too many directions, and none of them are towards God. Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Are you the Lord's today? Are you one that he can say, yep, he's mine? And then in turn, are you one that turn around and says, yes, I belong to the Lord? Third question, not so easy. Are you one that departs from iniquity? Think about that a minute. I know I have to think about it. You guys think I beat you up some Sundays. What you don't understand is I beat me up too. I beat me up quite often. You think this book doesn't apply to me? Believe me, when I'm studying this stuff, I'm going, wow. You sure you ought to say that? Somebody's going to say, I remember when. God, isn't it great God loves us so much that he's so forgiving? Well, we can be a total idiot one day and totally in his grace and doing wonderful the next. That's why we praise God for tomorrow. Because he has forgiven today. He forgives the mistakes we make today. He really does. Where else? Where else can you go anywhere? Tell me, anywhere that you can go in religion or in the world or your job or anywhere where you can be a total screw-up, confess to the Lord, and he opens his arms wide and he takes you back in and says, don't worry about it, Steve, it's a new day today. Wow, why would anybody reject that message? And I want to give it all day long. I told him the other day on Friday with the radio station, I said, you guys are calling the wrong people the haters. We love y'all way too much. What other group of people are giving people hope? If I want to put myself out there to be ridiculed because I'm warning you about something that's going to destroy your life and keep you from the beautiful sunshine of our Lord, how in the world can I be a hater? You mean because I'm not giving you your way? Isn't that what Satan likes to do, give you your way? And you know what the real fool and all that is? It's not your way, it's his way. He wants to give you his way dressed up like your way, to where you think it's your way. But anything apart from God and what he teaches us in his word is Satan's way. He just wants you to believe it's your way. Personally, I don't want to follow the creep around and obey him all the time. He doesn't like me. He for sure don't like you. Hates women. Oh, he hates them with a passion. Well, he has an amazing way of drawing us all in, doesn't he? Isn't that something? Do you know how you stay firm and away from that? I'm going to say it once again, folks. Here it is. It's the word. You got to stay in. You got to stay in. I want to see wrinkled pages, man. Oh, I got it on my phone. Throw that phone away. You know, when I open my Bible and I sit down and read and I study from my Bible, I do not study from a phone because the phone beeps. And then I got to see what that beep was. Or I remember while I'm on that phone studying the Word of God that all of a sudden, oh yeah, I was going to look this up. Hey, when I got this in front of me, that's all I got. Guess what? There's nowhere else to look but here. Get yourselves a hard copy Bible and wear this thing out. And watch how your life is transformed. And it will be transformed. Christians lose arguments all the time. Apologetic arguments. Arguments over things in social life and in the world. You know the biggest reason they lose the argument? Because they don't know what they're talking about. Oh no, Pastor, that's the other people that don't know what they're talking about. Neither do you. You're not studying the Word of God and you don't know it, and you don't see what's in it, you don't know where to go, do you? Oh, Pastor, you know, I have this thing that happened that one day I accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came into my life, and I have the Holy Spirit to illuminate things now. I don't need to know the Bible anymore. I got to tell you something. I have been told that real dumb argument on many occasions. Where do you think the Holy Spirit gets his info? The Holy Spirit illuminates this to us. He doesn't pull things out of thin air to put in your brain. If he did, there would have never been a reason for this. Do you understand that? The Holy Spirit teaches you and guides you, and yes, he does put things in your mind, but it all can be found here. We got to study, folks. We got to know truth. Otherwise, we're just floundering out there knowing nothing. And sometimes we can look good, we can think we know what we know, we can, but you don't. And how do we expect a generation that has already been told that we're just a bunch of old fogies that are delusional to believe us or follow us if we don't even understand what it is we're believing and following? Do you see what I mean? Guys, really, really, this is important stuff. Our country is such a critical place. I want to understand, you understand something too. Politics are not going to save this country. I want you to understand something else. Christianity and the Republican Party are not the same people. Or any other party. We've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, not a politician. And if you think for one minute this country is ever going to be made whole again without people getting on their knees and surrendering to our Lord Jesus Christ, you got another thing coming. Folks, we can't dictate morality. We can't dictate love. We can't make a law that says everyone's got to be patient with another person. We can't make a law that says everyone has to be forgiving. You can fake it too easy. Those conditions come from the heart. And they come via Jesus and via his Father. Through us. That's where it comes from. Not by a law. See, we've got it all backwards sometimes. We think we got to set laws and do things to make everybody right. That crazy pastor sounds like a libertarian, doesn't it? The truth is, when our heart changes, our desires change, and our laws change. And our country changes. Because guess what? I'm living for Jesus. I don't want that in my life. I don't want it in my kids' life. That's the thing that needs to catch fire in the church. Not the false teaching. The thing that needs to catch fire is the fact that, wow, I can have a new life in Christ and so can you. But let us never forget that it was bought with a great price. The blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood, clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor and sanctified for useful for the master, prepared for good work. What's that great house he's talking about? He's talking about the kingdom. So are we just talking about a bunch of non-believers here? Is that what the wood is versus the gold and the silver? No, the gold and the silver, those are the refined workers. Those that have stayed in the Word, those that have trusted God. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. When I stand before the Lord at judgment time, I really hope that I'll be that gold and silver. Because those will be the ones that are going to rule and reign. I don't want to be that vessel of dishonor. that God gave me all these chances, but I was willing to accept and just be the mediocre. God gave me all these abilities, but I was just willing to be mediocre. God gave me this beautiful voice, but I just sang in the shower. You notice I'm talking about you there, not me. I never got that beautiful voice. God gives us so much. What are we doing with it? Are we going to be a vessel of honor, or are we going to be a vessel of dishonor? We have to make that decision. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Are you prepared for every good work? Are you just satisfied to sit there? Well, you know, I'm a good Christian. I put my money in the plate, and I'm nice, and I help people here and there, and I do this and that. And it's all good. I don't want to get too involved because, well, yeah, I'll just be too involved if I get too involved. Are you going to be useful for the master? Not your version of useful. Not my version, his version. How many of you out there today? I'm going to ask this honest question. Are struggling with happiness? You know, here's something really weird. I've been struggling with some happiness lately. You know why I've been struggling with happiness? This is going to sound really strange. Because I'm so unhappy about all the people out there that are unhappy. That's not a good shrink. But I ask you, are you happy? Every week I stand up here and I tell you what will make you happy. I don't know what you do with it. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm saying you don't do the right thing with it. What I'm saying is, I don't know what you do with it. That's between you and God. I don't know what you do with it. Are you content to stay unhappy? To look for things around you and your environmental things to stimulate you either to happiness or to unhappiness or to anger or to love or to grief or to despair or to joy or for whatever that temporary thing may be. But are you willing to say, okay, I'm done. I've got to stop playing this game. God's promised me happiness. I know that he made me for a reason. I know there's so much I could be doing for him. And I don't even want to attempt and look for something to do for him right now. All I want to do right now is surrender to him. And he says, aha. Now I have some malleable clay that I can mold and do something with. I've been waiting on you to say yes, Lord, for a long, long time. And guess what? There's the title of that message, Praise God for Tomorrow. Help is on the way, folks. Joy's on the way. Purpose is on the way. I said this morning, I was in the kids' Sunday school class. We were talking, and I say kids because they were all a lot younger than me. They weren't kids. They're adults. Like really adults, like 40-some-year-old adults, but they're still kids to be. But anyway, I said the things that we give to the Lord and we trust him for really affect us. And one thing that is, and it probably has a lot to do with the influence that I had growing up through different people. My mother was a great influence in discussions I had. Your father was a good influence. But I always knew that I'd be okay. No matter what happened around me, I'd be okay. You know, if I end up dead broke, fine. I'll live in a shoebox. That's fine. Whatever happens, I'll be okay. And because of that, I've had this wonderful joy my entire life, through all the struggles and difficulties and successful business and collapsing business and all the things I've been through. I have never in my life been afraid of being without a job. Isn't that great? I mean, think about that. Any of you ever be worried about losing your job? I've never had that worry. That's great. But what if that's the only thing I ever gave to God? Okay, so I go through life not worrying about losing a job. What about all the other great things he could have brought me from that I've held on to and been selfish about? Why haven't I trusted him with other things? Why don't I still continue to trust him with other things? Because I want to tell you something. As you trust him with things, he's not going to say, finally, Stephen, you trusted me with that. No, he's going to say, you know what, Stephen? Great. We've taken care of this one. Now we've got to work on this one over here. You're not trusting me here either. And the whole ultimate goal is to get you to a point where you're living in faith and trust. And then you are that tool for him. Wow, isn't that great? And you're where you need to be. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Our health isn't guaranteed tomorrow. I had a conversation with my brother this week, and I thank all of you for the prayer for David. He shared with me on the phone the other day that the doctors had pretty much let him know as he was leaving the hospital a couple weeks ago that, you know, said, you're one of the ones that we didn't expect to leave the hospital. And he was telling me he got down to 130 pounds. That's a step, folks, for my brother. He's not a big guy anyway, but anyway, he told me through this whole experience, and it was really interesting because I remember some people commenting that every time they saw him after he got was off the vent and got through a really tough night that night, every time someone saw him, he had a smile on his face. But I was talking to him. We talked for quite a while. We ended up sobbing like babies, which was kind of weird. You know, two brothers don't normally do that together. But he said, it's like I've been reborn. He said, it's like I know Christ for the first time all over again. He said, for the last year or so before, he said, I felt like I was at the end of my life. I didn't know what God was going to do with my life, and I just felt defeated. Well, he's only 66, right? And he says, now I feel like I'm ready to start all over again, and I'm so on fire for serving the Lord. I've never been this on fire for the Lord. Wow. See, that's what happens when God can get a hold of you. And when you say yes instead of no, maybe. We don't know what tomorrow holds us, folks. We don't know what tomorrow holds at all. Health-wise, financial-wise, family, kids. Don't let it be the deciding and defining factor in your life. Jesus Christ needs to be the deciding and defining factor in your life. Those are things that he will walk you through and work through with you. But putting him first and foremost has to come first. Not my own little world and what I do with it. It's his great kingdom and what he's going to do with it with you in your life. See, I want you to know happiness. I tell you that every week. I really do. I want you guys to tell me what happiness is. I want you guys to tell me, Pastor, you need to be happy like I am. That's what we do. We're that body of believers on the solid rock. And then it says that we are useful for the master, prepared for every good work. We got all these ministries that come to mind, and they're important ones. Where's the useful workers that are chomping at the bit saying, Pastor, I'm on fire for the Lord. I need to do something. You got something I can do? I don't want to go out there and try to find people to fit something. God already found the people to fit something. They just need to come forward and say, hey, I fit this. Can you find it for me? Best ministries ever. Somebody comes and says, Pastor, guess what? We want to start doing a coffee ministry real early in the morning, and it's going to be free. Oh, wow, cool. Lower later than I heard. Go do it. Oh, my, what a beautiful ministry that's been. And I can name so many others. But folks, be open to the Lord. Study his word. Know what God's giving you. Quit planning your life on your circumstances. But Pastor, you don't know my limitations. No, you don't know God's grace. You can overcome any of those limitations that you think you have. Some of the greatest prayer warriors in the world haven't even been able to move their arms and their legs. Some of those giving, loving people in the world are totally dead, broken, have nothing physically. But man, are they going to be in a kingdom of gold one day? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I got to get through this because I got to get this message to them. I told you I was going to be done, didn't I? Hey, let's just go on here real quick. I had about 8 more verses to go, but I'm not getting there. It says, flee youthful lusts. Oh, man, here he goes again, right, kids? Let me tell you something. That youthful lust, tongue tire there. That's not just talking about sexual immorality, by the way. Youthful lust are other things like pride, wealth, money, position. Those are youthful lusts. Maturity takes us away from thinking that those things are going to make us happy. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I want to tell you something. If you want to step forward in ministry in this church, you better be stepping forward out of love for the Lord and a pure heart, because I don't want anybody going through the motions for the fun of it or for their own self grandiosousness. And that's not even a word, is it? Right? You're a school teacher. Bad word. No. You serve the Lord out of a pure heart, and He'll give you pure service. Don't base what you're doing in serving the Lord based on what someone else has done or by some grand scheme that they tell you that it works. You serve the Lord with an open heart and a loving heart and say, Lord, use me. Just use me. Oh, those are the most, such freedom in that. Lord, I'm yours. Use me. You're creator of this universe. You love me. You've sustained me through life. Lord, just use me. And watch your life change. Watch your desires change. Watch your countenance change. Young, those of you who are thinking of money, I didn't say watch countenance change. I said watch your countenance change. Kids reaching in the pocket, I got 50 cents. No, God loves you. And He wants so much for you. And He wants so much for this work. You know God designed small churches. Yeah. I think He designed us all to be small churches. Just me personally. See, you get to shepherd a flock that way. You don't have to pass it off and delegate everything. I know that people in huge venues, hey, God makes that happen too. But don't ever be ashamed of the fact that you're not huge, because God uses you right where you are. And you can be oh so effective. Flee from youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who can call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Folks, pick your battles. Can you do that? Pick your battles. If it's something you see or feel our Lord is being dishonored, it's a worthy battle. Fight that battle to the death. But when it's something that all it's going to do is cause more matters of opinion and strife, pick your battles. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient. You know, fighting doesn't leave you very open to teach. Do you want to learn from somebody that's angry? No. I don't think that anyone that's ever taught anyone, especially young people, they realize you can't teach out of anger and expect them to retain a thing. You better have love in your heart. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so they may know the truth. Isn't that your ultimate goal when you're trying to teach someone that's disagreeing with something? We don't have to be out there to prove a point and who's right and who's wrong. God knows who's right. You don't have to defend yourself. God will defend you all day long. But shouldn't our goal be for them to have a change of heart and come to know the Jesus you know? Yeah. And that may they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And I'm going to end with that. And I want you to think today of our young adults leaving school, going off to college in the United States of America, and I want you to look at that last verse. That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And folks, that's exactly what we're dealing with in America today. Folks, you need to be on your knees. Folks, we need to be praying to the Lord. Folks, we need to be loving them, reaching out to them. But don't start when you realize there's a problem. You start before the problem ever begins. Giving them the opportunity at every turn to hear about the truth of Jesus and the Word of God and the importance of it to stand on firmly. But see, that has to come from you. You're the one that's going to guide them through the Word of God and teach them and help them to grow. Are you up to the challenge? Answer that question this morning in your heart. Are you up to the challenge? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for everyone here. Lord, I ask this morning that we trust you with our lives, we trust you with our future, and Lord, thank you, we praise you for tomorrow. And as we give our lives more to you each and every day and surrender more each and every day, we know we can praise you for tomorrow because you have control of the outcome and you are such a sovereign God that has decided these things long before we ever realized it. Lord, let us trust you and walk with you. In your name, amen.
Just about pray for our offering this morning, Lord. We thank you today for our tithes and offerings. Oh, and the provision you've given this church, Lord. We thank you that we have a new roof on the building, and we soon should have a new handicap accessible ramp that will be better, and the neat things you give us that way. But, Lord, we also thank you, and most of all thank you, for the money that you've given us to work towards reaching people for you and helping people in outreach and what we do is showing them your love and what you can do and what you constantly do. Lord, I pray for this community and all our communities around us within our sphere of reach that those would see you through them and through us and they would come to know you from that testimony. In your name, amen.
If you'll open your hymnals this morning to page 488. Page 488.